This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time came for Elizabeth to deliver, she gave birth to a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard that God had been merciful to her, they shared her joy. When all had assembled for the circumcision on the eighth day, they intended to name the baby after his father, Zechariah. But Elizabeth spoke up, "No, he is to be called John." They pointed out to her, "But no one in your family has this name." Then they made signs to the father to find out what he wanted the child to be named. Zechariah asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." They were all astonished. Immediately, Zechariah's mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. Their neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about these events. All who heard the news stored it in their hearts and said, "What will this child turn out to be? For God's hand is with him." Zechariah, John's father, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Blessed are you, the Most High God of Israel, for you have visited and redeemed your people. You have raised up a mighty Savior for us of the house of David, as you promised through the mouths of your holy ones, the prophets of ancient times, salvation from our enemies and from the hands of all our foes. You have shown mercy to our ancestors by remembering the holy covenant you made with them, the oath you swore to Sarah and Abraham, granting that we, delivered from the hands of our enemies, might serve you without fear in holiness and justice in your presence all our days. And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you'll go before our God to prepare the way for the promised one, giving the people the knowledge of salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Such is the tender mercy of our God, who from on high will bring the rising sun to visit us, to give light to those who live in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. In the meantime, the child John grew up and became strong in spirit. He lived out in the desert until the day he appeared openly in Israel. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. As I have been reflecting on Zechariah's story, I've been thinking a lot about silence and the effect silence has. Does silence harm? Or can silence be an act of love? You see, silence can be quite harmful. We see that in our gospel lesson today. When it comes time for her baby to be named, the baby that she carried for 9 months and birthed out of her body, when it comes time to name her baby, Elizabeth is silenced. The community asks her what the child's name will be, and she gives an answer they are not satisfied with. So they silence her. They stop listening to Elizabeth entirely and go ask the man in the relationship. Now, I am willing to wager a lot that this was not the first time that Elizabeth's voice was silenced. I would wager a lot that Elizabeth's voice had been silenced many times before. And I would wager a lot that of the women in this room, most of us know what it is like to be silenced, to have our voices undervalued, cut off, disrespected. If you have lived a minority identity, whether through gender, age, race, ethnicity, or something else, then you probably know what it feels like to be silenced. How infuriating it can be, and how disheartening it is as it goes on and on and on. It is infuriating, frustrating, and disheartening to be so completely undervalued, disrespected, unheard, silenced. Silence can be quite harmful when the effect is to undervalue and disrespect someone's voice. And unfortunately, it happens quite a lot. I think about my dad, who lives with dementia, and he often struggles to find the right words. And as my dad searches for those right words, I often find myself supplying the words for him, rather than giving him the time to speak for himself. And while I do this out of love, because I hate to see my dad struggling, the truth is that when I supply those words, I have silenced his voice. And the effect is probably more harmful than good. I imagine it is very frustrating for my dad, who is very smart, to be cut off by others giving him the words he could speak. Without even meaning to do so, I find myself silencing my dad by speaking for him. I think about my friend who's married to an immigrant from Cambodia and how frustrating it is for her and her husband when people speak to her and not to him, in the assumption that he cannot speak English, which he speaks fluently. I know how infuriating it is for them both, for him to be written off, silenced, when people look at his appearance and speak to her instead. I think about a young woman I met recently who's living with autism. How I found myself, as I was speaking to her, and I think a grandmother, I found myself deferring to the grandmother, who is neuronormative, rather than speaking to the granddaughter living with autism. How I unconsciously started to silence this young woman's voice because of those ingrained prejudices around neurodiversity. How I started to silence her by speaking around her and to the person I felt more comfortable with. How I had to focus hard on speaking to both the granddaughter and the grandmother, for both have voices. The effect of silence can be quite harmful, sometimes intentionally, but more often unconsciously. We harm people by silencing their voices. So as I reflected on the story of Zechariah and how God silences Zechariah, I asked myself, when could silence be an act of love rather than harm? For if it is God who does the silencing, then I cannot believe that it is for harm. There must be good that comes out of silence. So, when is silence an act of love? In 9 months of silence, I have to believe that Zechariah grew in love. In her life, Elizabeth probably had many experiences of being silenced. Zechariah had far fewer. As a priest and as a man, Zechariah's voice was valued and respected in his culture. He would have very seldom, if ever, been silenced by his community. He would have very seldom been silenced, period. Until he is silenced by God. For perhaps the very first time, Zechariah learns what it feels like to be silenced. He learns how frustrating and disheartening it is. How his wife, Elizabeth, had felt when her voice was silenced. In silence, I think Zechariah must have grown in empathy for his wife, understanding maybe for the first time her experience of being undervalued, cut off, disrespected, when her voice was silenced. In his silence, Zechariah grew in empathy and in love. When silence teaches us empathy for others, it is most certainly an act of love. And silence is an act of love when it helps us to grow in appreciation for those silenced voices. When it encourages us to make space for those voices to be heard. In 9 months of Zechariah's silence, I am sure that Elizabeth's voice was heard far more often. And I wonder in that time what Zechariah got to learn about his wife that he did not know before. How did Elizabeth fill the silence? Did she sing her favorite psalms? Did she tell stories of her childhood? Did she get to make decisions that would have been Zechariah's before? I wonder how Elizabeth's voice grew during this time of Zechariah's silence. And I wonder what Zechariah got to learn about his wife, how he grew in love for her. Silence is an act of love when it makes space for those undervalued and too often disrespected voices to be heard. So, my siblings, I wonder how silence might become an act of love in your lives. As we approach the holidays, I wonder about the voices that go unheard around our dinner tables. In the hubbub and the commotion of holiday prep, do we make time to sit and listen to each other's stories? Do we listen to our children? Or do their voices get lost when they are relegated to the kid table? Do we take the time to ask them about their drawings, their imaginings? Could we be silent to make space for their voices? I wonder about the voices of our elders. Could the holidays be the perfect time to ask our parents and our grandparents to tell us stories about their childhood, about their lives, about their adventures, about what is meaningful to them, to you? Could we be silent to make space for the voice of our elders? Voices that before we know it will be gone forever. What are the voices that are far too often silenced? Voices that we could make space for. Are there voices that we silence by speaking around them? Do we defer to the person that we feel more comfortable with? Do we silence those of other races or neurodiversity or ability? Could we choose to speak to people rather than around them, so that silence does not do harm? Could we have empathy for how infuriating it must be to be ignored like that? Are there people that we silence by speaking for them? And could we hold our tongues so that their voices could be heard? Could silence be love rather than harm? My siblings, when silence is used to cut off someone's voice, when it undervalues and disrespects, it can do a whole lot of harm. But in our gospel lesson, God uses silence to help Zechariah grow in love. Silence, when it helps us to grow in empathy, is an act of love. Silence, when it creates space for undervalued voices to be heard, is an act of love. God uses silence as an act of love. So, my siblings, may silence be an act of love in our lives too. Amen.